Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
The call was last night. I was getting texts. I got a text from one player. On call now. I think the chances for a season are pretty close to zero. I just can't believe they're going to blow it up over economics.
Dale Arnold.
The Boston Athletic Association has determined that the traditional one-day running of the 124th Boston Marathon is not feasible this year.
Oh, boy.
Rich Keith.
The closest thing we have to a gambling expert on these airwaves is my buddy Mutt.
I'm a moron.
Trying to pump up my buddy Mutt here.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Dale and Keith with Andy Hart.
Somehow interpreted. What the hell's that word?
Wow.
Dumbass. On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Mutt, who's normally on nights here, is helping to fill in for Rich Keefe. We bring in Andy Hart, our buddy from
Smack you.
Bring in our buddy.
That was Shime.
It was not Shime. Shime can't run the board. Are you kidding me?
Shime's going to be tied up.
I can't? Wow.
He was here on Monday running the board.
I was in
how'd
the yard.
That go? I was drinking in the yard.
Well, nothing wrong with that either. No. Andy Hart, WEEI.com, formerly of the Fast Five, but no longer RIP.
Sad day. Sad day. Coronavirus has cost us so many things.
I'm going to miss this music. I wait all week to play this every
Friday. Can
we
repurpose it?
Like, we can't play it for anything else?
Oh, we'll figure something out. I can guarantee you that.
The heart attack. Boom. We play that.
Heartburn.
So oh, is no, it could just be different. He could attack. Heartburn is a rant on something. Heart attack could be he attacks somebody in the media.
Like you?
Sure. Do it every time you're in anyway.
Like me for picking Monty Python and the Holy Grail?
Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. Hey, you need me to save this? When are we doing the movie thing?
It's coming up. But you can criticize that one if you want.
Well, not just the criticism, Dale, but so I'm driving the other night, and I had a Sirius country station on, Sirius Satellite Radio. And I hear the host say, you know, I want to get into this. We were talking movies earlier, so I'm just going to give you my top five perfect movies of all time.
Oh, my God.
No, I crap you not, Dale.
Burn him!
He lists The Godfather, something, and third on his list was The Effing Holy Grail.
Oh.
Arguably the worst movie ever made.
DJ Chris Shime.
Not true.
Ruining lives all across America over the last
Absolutely
week.
Absolutely not
thanks
true.
Thanks to Shime, because you forced people to watch it, like I did my wife, Dale did his wife, and they luckily bowed out.
My wife at some
out.
Point said, do we have to
I did Andy's wife,
thing?
Too.
Excuse me?
Hey.
Excuse me, John?
I bailed on after 20 minutes. With the movie.
I'm not saying it's like a very fast-paced movie.
It sucks.
But the major
Don't try
jokes,
to defend it.
No, the major jokes are
Fall
still
flat.
Funny.
There's no major jokes.
Yeah, cutting off the arms
nostalgic.
And legs. It's just a flesh wound.
It's
I didn't get old after the first or second limb.
And the holy hand grenade one?
And the cloppity, cloppity,
one,
cloppity,
two,
cloppity,
oh,
yeah,
five.
The coconut
cloppity.
Things? Oh, that
sucked.
Was a laugh
The whole
riot.
Thing sucked. No, the only question I had was, is it, because Dale,
why
you said
we
you like,
it?
Well, yes, beyond that, like, yeah. Why am I a sucker and not watching Sin City like John did, picking just a better movie to watch
or
during that time?
Like I picked and you guys screwed me again.
But Dale, you said you remember it being funny.
I thought it was. And then when I watched it, I said, what the hell was I thinking?
So my question is...
By the way, Monty Python, the group, is very funny at times. This particular movie...
But isn't this their...
Their Mona
Grail?
Lisa. Yeah.
Right. Know, this is supposed to be their best one, I thought. This is like... And I hear these people. And I wonder,
This is his magnum opus.
Yes, his magnum opus. I was wondering as I'm driving, has this guy watched the movie in the last, I don't know, 10 years, 15? Like, is he
has
just
Shime?
Remembering it?
Has Shime watched that, or is he just misremembering how funny it was?
No, I didn't misremember anything. I rewatched it just like we had said we were going to, and I enjoyed those jokes. I did think it was a bit slow otherwise, but
repetitive.
Those jokes that I always remembered, I loved.
Now, the question I had, and I'm drawing a blank on the movie. Shime will fill me in here. But the movie with Do the Chickens Have Large Talons? Pedro for President. That was very
popular. Napoleon Dynamite.
Napoleon Dynamite. I really liked that movie. If I wait till I'm Dale's age and look back.
Oh, no, really?
Wait, it was just a calendar thing, Dale. Some distance from watching it.
Yeah, I gotcha.
And I watched that movie. Am I going to be like Dale and say, I can't believe I once thought this was funny?
No, it might seem a little dated to you, but the nostalgia and some of the jokes are still going to hit just like this did.
I also wonder if I could have gotten...
Rico throwing a football is never not going to be
funny. See them mountains over there?
Never not going to
be. Or him yelling at Tina, eat your tater tots, Tina.
This segment of you retelling the jokes, already more laughs than the Holy Grail at all. Ever. Ever. The movie was terrible.
Get your own tater tots.
They should just blow it up. Remove it from circulation. Never show it again. Because it hurts people.
Well, I will say this, and we will announce the winner of this week's Dale and Keith Movie Club winner. It won't be Chris Scheim this week.
Well, I can guarantee that's accurate.
And the good news is the movie will not be worse than the movie we were all forced to watch last week.
Can't be.
Can't
possibly be. Nope.
2 weeks ago, we had to watch Secret Life of Pets 2.
Which I guarantee.
Which is worse than Monty Python.
You people have hijacked the whole premise of this bit.
It is not worse than Monty Python.
Yes, it is.
No. Beating my head against this wall is more entertaining than Monty Python.
I would have rather watched Monty Python 100 straight times than watch Secret Life of Pets 2 again.
I bet it's better. I haven't seen it necessarily, but it can't be worse.
I'm not going to go out of my way to watch it. I was going to say I'll watch it and find out. No, I don't think so.
If I still had kids in the house like you guys do, it would be different. You know, hey, come on, kids, we'll watch a movie together. My wife and I are going, really? We got to watch Secret Life of Pets 2?
Well, here's the problem we're having. My youngest son is so used to Netflix and the on-demand and no commercials. We fed him actual over-the-air television this morning.
Ugh.
And
what were you thinking, huh?
The freakouts when PBS at the top of the hour goes to like some a couple, not even commercials, but kind of like sponsored by things.
Right.
You would have thought we took away every one of his favorite toys. He was freaking out. He forgot what commercials were. It's been so far. He's like, where's the next show? You've got to wait now for 4 minutes.
Please, let me vomit some more.
It's not good for those of us in this industry, is it? The younger generation doesn't put up with commercials.
I will give you another recommendation. Not for the Dale and Keith Movie Club. That's already done. So I mentioned that my wife and I just went through every single episode of Game of Thrones. Started with season one, episode one, went all the way to the end. Because she had never seen most of it, and I didn't mind going back and seeing it again. So it was fun. I enjoyed it. We finished that, and on the recommendation of my daughter, we started a new series, which we were frankly a little hesitant about. But I got to tell you, on Paramount TV, Yellowstone is really good.
Seen it? Very, very, very good.
Really good. Kevin Costner, Kelly
hard
Riley.
Hard to find, but it is very good.
What's do we get the Paramount Network? Where's that hidden?
I had to get it on
Amazon. It used
Amazon,
to be Spike TV.
Amazon.com, and then I got it on Prime TV. I think there are only 2 seasons of it so far.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, if you can find it, and it's not easy, I'll admit that, it's pretty darn good.
It's one of those Taylor Sheridan shows. You know the guy who makes all the movies that usually center around Native Americans, like Wind River? It's that, except he put it as a full season of a show.
But here's the issue, and Andy and I know we agree on this. So Dale, because Dale's not doing any homeschooling, Dale gets to do his show,
easy
get off
for
the
me.
Air, and
absolutely.
Enjoy
I
a nice afternoon
that.
With Susan, yep. Nice evening. John has nothing going on. He's sucking down beers on Memorial Day Monday. Shine, he's playing Pokemon, but again, doing nothing. If you have kids,
yep,
we've gotten
fair.
To the end of, hey, can you give me a good recommendation? What's Dale watching? I'm so curious. What's on Netflix? There's no time to watch this stuff if you have kids and you're parenting right now. None. I'm
None
sick of
all.
Hearing about it.
I am kind of too. All these, you know what I watched? All 77 episodes of whatever. You know what I've watched? Nothing. I watched 15 minutes of a dumbass Gronk show the other night. Did any of you guys watch that? Because my son wanted to watch it. It was, again, up there with the Holy Grail among the worst things I've ever seen.
By the way, I gave that about 10 minutes. It was every bit as bad as I thought it was.
It was, and I know it was that bad because my son, who's 13, who just ordered his Tampa Bay Bucks Gronk jersey, about 10 minutes in said, I'm going to bed. This is awful. It's supposed to be funny, but it isn't. He can't carry a mutt. Did you really think he was going to be an entertainer?
I think he's still going to be. I still think he's got a very. I think he's got a. I think he's got a very good chance. He's got a very good chance to be. I never said he was going to be, Sly Stallone. Okay, so I'm not going to be like Wiggy and go back and make up what I said about it. What I said was he's a chance to be a B or C level actor in action movies once his playing career is over.
He's got no
absolutely has that opportunity.
He's got no chance. It was a stupid, funny game show where he's surrounded by comedians where he only has to speak like 3 times in 10 minutes, and he couldn't do that at an entertaining level.
But it wasn't an action movie, right? This was a
No, it's an action show.
Thing. It's but an action show comedians. About sports. He's not,
Yeah, the comedians are part of the competitions, but it's physical competitions. He couldn't even do that.
Yeah, you didn't watch it. Well, I watched all his wrestling minutes, all his stuff he did in wrestling.
And that wasn't good either.
He was tremendous. Him and Mojo Rawley, they carry that sport.
Plus,
right
he
now.
Was Thank chicken God bleep. Was there. Did you read later that he was so scared to do the fall, to jump off the little platform,
that
and get 90-year-old the
24-7? Vince had to show him it was safe?
So he's chicken. He's not entertaining. He's not funny. He's not articulate. Now, wait. See why he's your...
So the other day...
Andy, you know why, though? You know why he was didn't want to take that fall? He knew he was coming back to play football.
No problem. So 2 days ago on the WWE Twitter feed, they put a video out, which is Gronk's response to R-Truth's challenge about the 24-7 title. And Gronk's sitting there in a weight room, and he's got the 24-7 title belt over his shoulder, and he's got these sunglasses on, and he starts responding to R-Truth. And then you could just see it. Where the people who are directing the piece are going, Gronk, don't take the glasses off. Don't take the glasses off. He took the glasses off and was so clearly trying to read a cue card that was off camera a little bit. It was disconcerting watching him. He couldn't ad-lib a promo, a wrestling promo.
Nope.
And it was horrible.
Those are tough. To cut a promo out of nowhere, that's tough.
Can't you just
say
you were
wrong?
You're
in the business. That's
tough.
Can't
you just say you were wrong?
No, that's absolutely not. I know, until proven wrong, I'm going to say that after
it's
his playing
been
career,
proven.
B or C level action. Action star. We'll see when this firefighter movie comes out with Mel Gibson.
Wasn't that supposed to have been out already?
Yeah, I think it was delayed because of COVID. Yeah.
They're reshooting. They're editing Gronk out.
It's a COVID issue.
They might.
Mutt, he
All right.
Stinks.
When we come back in just a couple of minutes, do we care what Chris Sims thinks about anything?
Yes.
Save your answer.
Oh, sorry.
Save your answer.
Don't worry. Doing the tease.
Big market
save your answer. We'll find out in just a couple of minutes, and we'll get back to your calls at 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe with Mutt and Andy, and it's time to trend.
Dale and Keefe.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
So we mentioned earlier that there was a lengthy press conference in Minneapolis, the governor and other public safety officials. It was an 80-minute press conference. At the end of the press conference, reporters were told to hold in the room for an additional announcement from Minnesota Public Safety Commissioner John Harrington. Harrington then came into the room a few minutes ago. Theo Keith, who is a political reporter for KMSP-TV in Minneapolis, blue check mark and everything, says, breaking news, Officer Derek Chauvin has been taken into custody by state authorities, Public Safety Commissioner John Harrington says. Harrington says the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension told him minutes ago he would not say where Chauvin was arrested or on what charges a news release is forthcoming.
Can I hazard a guess? Murder would be the charges?
I'm just going to go out on a limb and suggest that might be in there somewhere.
Jeez. I know they have to stick with their sort of... stick to the script of, you know, by the rules, by the book, but we all know what he did. We all saw what he did. We all know that he should be convicted of what he did. Is that fair to say? The alleged crime? Do I have to say the alleged crime?
You're innocent until proven guilty, Andy. That's the rule. Yes.
But didn't I watch it?
Yeah, from multiple
sure
angles.
Seemed
from,
it.
Yeah. Right. So yes. I feel like, okay, I'll say alleged just to be safe, but
see, I honestly do think if I were the governor of Minnesota or the mayor of Minneapolis, I would have been putting pressure on these public safety officials and saying, listen, I understand you don't know yet about the other three guys. Their part in this may be a little harder to pin down. You've got stuff you've got to work on. But that guy right there, the guy with his knee on the guy's neck on video for 8 straight minutes, you can arrest him, can't you?
Yeah, I mean, I know we're not. None of us are cops. None of us are lawyers, investigators.
Or qualified for any of that.
But this seems like a case where just pure common sense that you could ask almost anybody, is that right what that guy did? Nope, it isn't. Let a jury of his peers decide, I guess. But
yeah, how do you find it in that state? How are you going to find a jury that is not, you know, already have an opinion on this?
In any state. I mean, in this world of Twitter and social media and the nightly news and videos, I joke. I mean, what percentage of the population you think hasn't seen at least a good portion of that video?
It's very small. And in that state, it's even less.
At this point, the fact that they have apparently taken Derek Chauvin into custody and have arrested him, thank God.
And there's
because maybe that'll help diffuse some of the tensions that we saw all night long last night. You know, when you've actually got a police headquarters, a police building that gets looted and burned, and you see videos of police officers running down the street to get away from the building, that's a bad look.
Well, we're living in a world of bad looks, Dale. I mean,
yeah, it's fair.
When the president tweets out, I forget the exact, when the looting starts, the shooting starts.
Yep.
Like, talk about bad looks and poor leadership. And I mean, it's an unbelievable world we live in right now. And my head immediately fast forwards to, as Mutt says, can you find an unbiased pool of jurors? No, you can't, because everyone's seen it. And what if?
And by the way, that doesn't mean he can't be convicted. He can be.
And he should be.
Of course.
But what if
he isn't?
I mean,
it's going to be real easy. Your Honor, here it is.
Right.
I'm going to play the video. The prosecution rests.
Right. What if he isn't convicted? Because this is a guy, I don't know if you guys have read any of this. He has a little bit of a history.
Had 18 charges filed against him during the course of his police career. 18 different times people have said, hey, this guy did this wrong. This guy did that wrong.
Right. And so there's at least a chance that he could get off, correct?
You know what? I will never say never in this day and age. I saw OJ walk. So, yeah.
I can't fathom what the reaction will be if that happened there or anywhere else in the country. You're talking about a critical moment in our present day lives. I mean, if he is not convicted, I don't know what you will see anywhere across this country.
If he's not convicted in that state, in that city, then you think the rioting is bad now, watch out. It's
right, because I will be interested to see if this does placate some of that, the rioting and what's going on, if they were fueled in some part by what we've been questioning for a couple days now. What's going on? Why is he not already arrested? And feeling like maybe that was a snippet of what was to come, that this isn't going to be handled properly, and maybe that fueled some of the unrest. Will there be sort of a lessening of that? Will we see less riots? Will we see less crowds and protests? Or what is the reaction? I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to know how those people there will react to this, but I would take it as at least the right thing, the right next step in this process has now occurred.
All right, let's take you back to the more mundane. Let's talk about football. Let's talk about the Patriots for just a moment. Let's talk about Chris Sims, a man whose opinion matters most to us. Chris Sims, an NBC Sports analyst.
Tom Brady hater.
Oh, does he ever. So he has listed his top 50 NFL quarterbacks. And good news, Patriots fans.
One of yours made the list.
Jarrett Stidham's on the list at number 35.
Steed.
So then he goes on to say, now, he ranks him 35, which means he's worse than some of the backups,
yes.
Right? I'm just pointing this out. He ranks him as 35. Then he goes on to say, first off, I loved Stidham coming out of college.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a lot of him in preseason last year. Preseason.
It's all he's got, Dale.
And loved the way he looked. Really, when you look at him, there's nothing to say or look at him physically and go, oh, there's a weakness to his football game. Here you go. Ready for this, Patriots fans? He reminds me a little of Tony Romo.
Is not going to win you any games, but he's not going to lose you any games either.
He's a very pure thrower of the football. He's got great mechanics. He's natural that way. He's smart. We know he's being well-schooled up there in New England, and yet he's got him worse than some of the backup quarterbacks in the NFL.
So, first of all, Chris Sims, I never really know where he's coming from here because
doesn't it usually feel like he's got a bit of an agenda that doesn't include liking the Patriots?
I don't know if it's not including liking the Patriots.
Is it Brady or the Patriots?
Trolling? Yeah, that's a fair question.
Yeah.
And is he doing it intentionally? Is he trolling? Does he know what's good for clicks and attention and reblogs and those types of things? Like, is he, you know, crazy like a fox or is he just crazy? And I'm not sure I know the answer to that question and his feeling for the Patriots. But where, like, if I just threw you guys this question, where would you rank Jarrett Stidham among NFL quarterbacks? quick. Like, no, don't put too much thought into it. Just throw a number out there.
It's in the 30s for me. It's in the 30s.
Yeah, I think it's probably fair that he's right on that cusp of the worst quarterback in football, the worst starting quarterback in football, in part because it's mostly unknown. Not to say he doesn't have any skill or he couldn't move up that ranking very quickly. He's played 15 plays. He threw a pick six in one of his four passes. People point to his preseason action as why you would defend him, or, you know, the thrower of the football as a reason why he's good. So, to me, 35, not all that far off the mark if you're being fair.
Wait a minute, but then the comparison he wants to make for you is Tony Romo?
This is where I cut ties with the...
Hold on. I think he's comparing him physically, Dale. I don't think he's saying he's Tony Romo. Like,
he says he's got a lot of Tony Romo in him. Really?
Tony Romo is really good.
Tony Romo
is excellent. No, that's my point. If his comparison point is Tony Romo, would he have had Tony Romo 35th in the NFL at any point?
I don't think he's comparing him to Romo the player. I think he's comparing him, maybe you guys read it differently, to Romo's style of play. Like, everyone said Stidham coming out of college was a little bit more mobile than Brady was going to be. He's going to throw on the run. That's what Romo was. So you go back and watch Romo at his best. He made plays with his feet in the pocket, made plays in the run. That's what I assume. I think he was comparing him to Romo at his prime, but Romo physically in the way he goes about it, that physical part of it, not him playing. That's how I read it, which might be if I haven't done the tape dive the way he has, but maybe it's true. I don't know.
No, there are certainly some similarities between the two. The athletic, you know, you hear he was one of the top two or three dual threat quarterbacks coming out of high school. He was a runner and a thrower. I don't think he's quite that anymore. If you're expecting him to be Lamar Jackson, I think you're going to be disappointed. But can he move? Is he going to make plays with his legs, keep plays alive, throw on the run? Yes, I think he will at least, you know, Jarrett Stidham will at least attempt to do that. How successful it will be, we're going to find out. But I don't think there are people that you guys have had on your various shows that think he's not even the starter in New England, right? That Brian Hoyer will start.
That's mainly Wiggy.
Well, but there's others.
I think there are a lot of people. Tom Curran thinks that because of the shortened offseason, they may go Hoyer for the first month, and he's not the only one.
Right, Gary Tangway wrote a couple of days ago something along the lines of, if Brian Hoyer's your starting quarterback for the Patriots to start the season, I'm out.
I kind of agree with him.
I do, too.
You're sad to agree with Gary
Tangway?
No, not at all.
No, I'm not sad. I do agree with him. I mean, we know what Brian Hoyer is, okay? We know what his ceiling is.
Yes.
And he is the perfect backup quarterback to bring in here and a great influence in the quarterback room. And he will literally help Jarrett Stidham to be better and be better prepared. If you brought him in to be your starting quarterback, you're screwed.
Right. I actually think when we talked to Tom Curran the other day, that Brian Hoyer is the perfect quarantine quarterback. Literally, if you want to protect yourself and have a guy in waiting in behind a glass case that you know on a Saturday evening you could call him and say, I need you to play Sunday, Brian Hoyer's that guy. I would feel quite comfortable as the emergency guy. I'm not comfortable trying to bridge the dynasty or make the playoffs or start a season. I would not see the point of Brian Hoyer. But where's this list totally? Because I've seen everybody say
he's only done like the first five. He's got a hashtag Sims top 40 quarterback, so he's starting from 40 and going backwards. He can only see 40 through maybe 31.
So
right now, I think that's so far we've gotten.
Did Brian Hoyer make the list, or he's not even in the top 40?
My guess is he's not on the list.
Okay. So far, so 35.
I don't know that. This, but
here's 36 through 40. Taysom Hill, the kid Herbert
Hill,
Mitchell Trubisky, Dwayne Haskins, and Tua. That's 36 through 40. So that every guy behind
Tua,
him, he thinks, is worse
Tua's
than...
Tua's at 40?
He's got Tua at 40. So Tua, from 40 to 36.
So he's got Tua lower
Haskins,
than Jarrett
Trubisky,
Stidham.
And
Taysom
Hill, who's not a quarterback. He's the third quarterback on his team, correct, Taysom Hill?
Yeah. He has 15 career passes, I know that.
Right.
That I'm aware of, yeah.
He's the gadget guy, the gimmick
guy. He's a gadget guy. Like, the fact that he's ahead of Tua... Even though Tua has done nothing, but he's played the quarterback position at a higher level than Taysom Hill ever has, whether you're talking about college or the NFL level. Taysom Hill is a gimmick. He is an absolute gimmick. That just devalued the whole list.
With Chris Sims, these lists, like when Mannix has a top five in the NBA, doesn't include Michael Jordan. When this list doesn't, Taysom Hill's 36 on this list, he's doing the right thing. Sims got us to talk about it on a Friday on a big station in Boston, so he wins. Meanwhile...
He wins.
So you guys said this is to Andy.
Ugh.
Like if here's a scenario where Hoyer starting the season, I'm not out. Because if they start the preseason and they treat it like a legitimate quarterback battle, which I want to see. I want to see Stidham and Hoyer basically split reps for two or three games.
I don't want to see them split reps.
I do.
You got one guy who's got an upside. You got another guy. We've already reached the upside.
And you just want to give him the job? Here's the job, Jarrett. You've done nothing to earn it yet. Go play quarterback for us. How about go earn it, Dale? When is that? Isn't that more important than just giving the job?
Earn it.
What's that?
What's Brian Hoyer done?
He hasn't, so you give both guys the same opportunity, and you have a legitimate quarterback camp battle. We haven't had that for decades here in New England. And if Hoyer plays better than Stidham does in the preseason, then Hoyer's your starter. You didn't earn it, Jared. That's what I want to see.
No thanks. No interest.
You guys want to hand this kid the job? That's so dumb.
Why?
Okay, great. Because he did nothing to earn the position,
guys. First of all,
make him go out there and show something.
Did he earn a roster spot last year?
Of course he did,
yes. Is that something Brian Hoyer did not do?
He didn't.
Brian Hoyer immediately got released by the next team that had him.
Was there any pressure on Jared Stidham last year at all? No, zero. Go hang out behind Tom Brady. He never gets hurt.
You don't think there's pressure being Tom Brady's backup?
No, they brought in another Cody Kessler to be his wet nurse because Brady didn't want to deal with him anymore. Are you kidding me?
Let's get to this point. Now, normally we have Chris Scheim give away money on our great gambling segment, but we got to take advantage of opportunities when they're presented, so we'll do things a little differently here today.
Yeah, today I'm actually is the Tiger King pick of the week. I'm going chalk. Give me Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning. That means parlay partay once again this week. Bundesliga.
Bundesliga.
We're gonna go for it again this week. And this week we have Hoffenheim +110 taking on Paderborn, Borussia Dortmund sitting at -135 versus Wolfsburg. We're going to Moscow, playing some table tennis, boys. Roman Pavlenko taking on Valeri Ivanov.
Belarusian
soccer. And we're going to take Slutsk. FC Slutsk this week.
Yes!
Nick on Rupress. Give me FC Slutsk.
These guys, +140.
So this is where Chris Scheim gives you some sports you've never heard of and names that he can't pronounce. Because we don't have real sport. Well, there are real sports to bet on. Scheim just chooses to ignore them.
Dale, would you rather he bet on real sports, or would you rather he won you money?
See, I don't bet.
I mean, I'll take the money every day.
Yeah. Right. Scheim time, money's money. That's the answer.
I want to win.
Is money.
I'm more concerned about the show and the segment on the show.
If I'm winning people money, though, don't you think they'd want to listen?
I want to be able to mock you.
So you're mad that he's successful.
So you're fine with me picking things that I can't pronounce.
Exactly.
And don't know the rules.
Then it's
for
fun for me.
All right.
You don't know if it's males or females. You don't know.
It doesn't matter,
Dale, in this world, in this day and age. Don't fixate on those details.
So we have actually split the baby for this segment. Is that right, guys?
That is correct. I figured we have a perfect opportunity. Yesterday, Dale brought it up. The go-to gambling expert here at EEI is one Mike Mutnansky.
It's Chris
Shine. I thought he sucked.
It's Chris Shine.
I don't know. This is just according to Dale. So I figured I'd let Mutt hop on.
All I hear from Scheim and John is ripping Mutt's inabilities as a gambler based on their interactions on the podcast.
No, not at all.
What's it, the Winner's Circle? The
Winner's Club.
Winner's Club. I'm going to get that sooner or later. The Winner's Club.
It's on hiatus right now, like many podcasts are during
COVID. Well, we didn't have sports to bet on.
The Off Day podcast has not been on hiatus. We've been banging them out.
Yeah, because you guys have jobs.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Don't we all have jobs?
Yeah, well, four of the nine.
Aren't we all here for a reason?
Network don't.
Anyways,
you guys do. You should be doing a podcast every week.
Guys, I'm going to start it off here, Mutt. I'm going to have you go second.
Okay.
So my first pick, we're going to go to my favorite thing right now to bet on, and that would be
the Bundesliga.
The Bundesliga, boys. This week, I'm not going to go with a parlay, though. I'm just going to go one game. I see it. I'm seeing it unbelievably clearly. We're taking Wolfsburg. -107, taking on Eintracht Frankfurt. Frankfurt has not won a game, a while. It's been
You have
more
no
than,
idea.
I actually do. They've lost four, and one's come to decision out of their last five. They haven't won a game in their last
five. Wait, they've lost four, and one's come to what?
Decision, a tie.
That's not what that means, but...
Yes.
I don't even know. I've never heard that for a sport.
I've never heard that, Shy. You made up a term there. Actually.
One's come to a decision.
Dale, I'm the one who watches the Bundesliga here.
Are there judges? Apparently don't.
Apparently you don't. You don't
the
know the
Bundesliga.
Term at all.
Regardless of that fact, okay. I'm taking Wolfsburg because They're hot right now. They're going to get the W over Frankfurt.
So
who stinks?
Hot. Want to touch the hind.
Hey, hey, hey.
What? It's a Billy Madison reference.
I know. Hansel is so hot right now.
All right, so there's, Mutt, there's you're our up. First pick.
Mutt. Well, listen, I ripped him earlier, but Darren Rovell tweeted out yesterday when he's kissing the butt of horse racing. He's thrilled that horse racing's done this great job of keeping fans entertained. The sports kept going, and they are rolling to the point where morning show producer Ken Laird is now texting me every day. He's a degenerate. He's betting. He wants the racing form. I got him all hooked up with an account. He's firing. So we're giving two horse pick shine. Is that okay? Two races, dude?
Love it. Tomorrow? Send it, Mutt.
Churchill Downs has a late pick five. The first leg of that race is race number 7. It's the Winning Colors Stakes, named after Winning Colors, who won the Derby as a filly. We all know that. It's a grade 3 race worth $100,000.
Just make a pick. I don't care about all the details.
People want to know, Andy.
The
that's
first
fair.
Race is the race 7 is a pick
race
five.
Have,
pick
race
somebody.
Seven,
tell me the damn horse's
seven
name.
Race 7 tomorrow at Churchill. This will be on FS1. They've had great TV coverage throughout this whole process. The 8 horse is the favorite. Mia Mischief. John, Mia Mischief.
Didn't Jimmy Garoppolo date that horse?
No, she was really? Very buxom. No, that was a buxom horse. This filly is a great runner. She's she 5-for-8 lifetime at Churchill, Andy. 7-for-13 lifetime at the distance. She's 1-2 in a row. She's the favorite. She's going to roll tomorrow. Mia Mischief to kick off the pick five at Churchill Downs.
Mutt coming in hot with a sport that I have never bet on.
He sounded like Phil.
But he actually knows the sport he's talking about.
It actually ruined the segment, Dale. It sounded like Phil Mickelson talk about a chip shot.
See, Dale,
I don't need
all the
details. Just show me the baby.
You can have Mutt's knowledge on horse racing, right?
I hate it.
Or you can have my 48-28 record in the year of 2020.
True.
Wow, pretty good.
That's pretty darn
good. Get a good look at a T-bone by sticking my head up a bull's ass, but I'd rather take the butcher's word for it.
Okay.
I think we got that right.
My second pick is something Dale absolutely loves. Two things, actually, Dale loves. One, me being unable to pronounce names.
Oh, this is
and
the best.
Two, me betting on Russian table tennis.
Yes.
That's right. We're going to, all right.
Valeri. Wait,
sit on this one, guys.
Uh-oh.
Zasser Khudaibberdiev.
Oh, yeah. You had no chance.
Versus Viktor Romanov. I'm going to take...
You might have got that one right.
Couldn't it be Romanov?
No, it's an R-A-H. So Romanov. Looks right. And so I'm going to take Zasser because I can pronounce his first name. Zasser. Can't pronounce his last name.
Z-Man!
-115. They're both -115. It's going to be an even match here. I'm going with Khudaibberdiev to win. That's totally mispronounced, and I don't care.
Do
you have a jersey?
I don't.
That would go like shoulder to shoulder, no question.
I don't, but I'm 7-2 betting table tennis, so I'm very confident. And I pick solely on the names.
He is betting a sport he has never seen in his life.
Doesn't matter, Dale. 7-2 is 7-2.
I would say that's luck, wouldn't you?
Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good.
Yeah, no question.
That's a big enough sample size. You are a table tennis expert. You are an expert now, Sean.
So let's go.
Thank you, thank you. So Mutt needs his second pick of the day. Mutt, what do you got?
We have the final leg of that pick five tomorrow, Andy. The 11th race at Churchill, which is the Mint Julep Stakes. The Mint Julep Stakes, which you know is the traditional drink of the Kentucky Derby.
Yes.
They put some bourbon in there, a little bit of mint, a little simple syrup. They mix it up in a little tin cup, and they took another grade 3 race sponsored by Old Forester. Not a bad little bourbon. They're going 1/16 on the turf, and we're not getting a favorite this time.
What are you babbling about?
We
just
are
make
giving
a pick.
Drinking.
Just drinking, Andy.
Four,
it's okay.
Four to one shot in the morning line, Shime. So a $2 bet brings you almost $10 back for a $2 win bet. The horse's name is Bo Recall. Not Total Recall, the movie.
He's lying.
Bo Recall.
Bo.
Just do what I tell you.
I'm in on Bo.
Bo knows.
The Irish bred.
Are you crazy?
Chill downs. 4-1 in the morning line. 3-for-6 at the distance. Going to sit right off the pace and make a big run. We're going Bo Recall at 4-1 to close.
Who are you?
Big five tomorrow.
What's the Irish bred?
It's an Irish bred horse. The horse is bred in Ireland.
Oh,
has
okay.
Irish parents.
That was a long ride.
Speaking
over.
Of horse racing and drinking.
Yeah.
Are you a Mint Julep fan?
No, disgusting.
Oh, God, no. It's just awful.
Not even a, hey, it's Kentucky Derby Day. We're at Mohegan Sun celebrating with the great folks down there. Disgusting. No.
Who the hell am I?
No, thank you. No.
When I was a kid growing up in Maine, if we got sick, my mom would make us drink. It's called Father John's. Father John's is like mint juleps. It's like, really? This is worth it? I'd rather be sick.
So your mother, what was in a Father John?
That's the name of the cough medicine. It was called Father John's.
Oh, I thought this was like, you know, grandma's cough syrup.
It was actually a real, honest to God. It's horrible. You don't want to try it, but it's
Moxie?
Like mint juleps. It is
Father John's.
Yeah, I'm looking at it here.
Is it still available?
Father John's Medicine, a non-alcoholic mix of cod liver oil with a liver licorice taste.
Now
imagine, combining cod liver oil and licorice.
Why would I?
So they still make this stuff, Dale.
Oh, I think they do.
They're a sponsor, actually.
It's you can get it at Amazon. Now, it's the alcohol-free version. I could have been
back in the day, they had hoo-hoo.
Was that nasty?
To your point about the licorice part of it, the box looks like a Moxie can. So was
That's
it tied
kinda,
into...
Yeah.
And it was right in Lowell. It was in Lowell, Massachusetts, developed right down the road. Father John's.
Never knew I was going to learn something about Father John's.
A little licorice taste. And as a little side note to wrap up the segment. Oh. So my son has been listening to the show for much of the show today. The thing he's laughed at the most was John talking about Life of Pets 2. He told me off the air it's not a bad movie. And then the drops you guys are playing right now and Andy quoting the bull. He is sitting there cackling. A seven-year-old should not be laughing this hard
this
at
is
a radio
audience.
Show at 1:30 in the afternoon.
This is our audience.
We're crushing it today.
That's our demo. How old is he? Seven? Okay, these are our people.
Mutt, are you going to let him watch the movie that wins the movie club poll?
Don't. You want to watch the winner?
I heard a yes in the background.
How old is your son?
He's 7 years old. I'm not sure he's watching this.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to tell you this right now. I think Wiggy's movie's going to win. I would not be letting him watch this, I don't think.
Wiggy's movie. Don't ruin that. We haven't a big tea.
Following it since yesterday, and we'll find out in a couple of minutes. We'll tell you which of our movies will win our movie club, and we've got what else you got. Dale and Keefe with Andy and Mutt, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
It's time for the Dale and Keefe Movie Club.
How do you like their maps?
And the winner is...
All right, trying to figure out something for you to watch on Netflix this weekend. We had our four nominees yesterday. Shime's got the winner.
So we have the winner here in an absolute landslide. The biggest victory yet. We have Uncut Gems, suggested by Mutt and John.
There we go.
I actually don't hate watching this one, unlike the last 2 weeks when I resented having to watch them. So Uncut Gems, I admitted yesterday I'm not a huge Adam Sandler guy, but that's fine.
It's a different Adam Sandler, though, Dale. It's not the Adam Sandler you're used to. He plays an absolute jerk, and he's a jerk from beginning to end. And thinking back on it, I'm not sure if I was... Anderson Cena, were you rooting for him or against him? I think I was kind of rooting against him at parts of the movie.
Yeah, I think I kind of was too, but because it's like the people he's dealing with are just as big of a-holes as he is, so it's a movie that it's really hard to root for anyone in it.
Can I root for Kevin Garnett?
Sure.
Sure, yeah.
Well, I mean, you can just look up what happened in the game, and you'll be good.
Or Mike Francesa. Can root for him too. He's in there.
Although I saw you appeared on the Furloughed Friends podcast last night.
A
couple nights, and said not enough Francesa.
I can always use more Mike Francesa, and he's done up so perfectly. He's all tan. The white hair is as white as ever. He's got the New York accent. He is in limited scenes, but he steals the scenes he's in with Adam Sandler.
By the way, this is definitely not a movie for children either.
Not for the seven-year-old in your house.
Sorry, buddy,
can't
watch this.
No, not
this
one. All right, time to get some stuff that we may have missed earlier in the program.
What else you got?
Mutt, why don't you kick it off for us?
All right, listen, we've been doing this thing on Wednesdays and Fridays called Red Sox Classics, and we are wrapping up our 2013 run tonight. Game 6 of the Red Sox-Cardinals World Series. I don't want to spoil it for you, but it goes well for the Red Sox tonight. And
Spoiler
alert. Our guest tonight will be the guy who had the final call. And I forget, one of the players that has joined us actually referenced Dave O'Brien's final call on the radio in the 2013 World Series, where the Boston Strong makes it part of the conversation. I am curious. I don't know the answer to this, and I'll ask Dave, and hopefully get an honest answer tonight, you know, whether or not he had that planned out or whether or not that came to him. I know some broadcasters, Dale, maybe you've done it, where you want to have some things planned out and have sort of the scripted
idea. Yeah, I tried
idea.
Not to. I tried not to.
Yeah, you try not to, but I'm sure it happens. So we'll talk to Dave about that World Series, about that season, what it meant to the city of Boston, and that final call, which has become, I would say, iconic among championship calls here in the city.
All right.
What else you got?
All right, Andy.
So, Dale, we've been talking a lot about sports playing without fans, right? It's going to be weird because we're so used to 60, 70,000 people, 100,000 people.
Mutt sent me an article from the Globe where Delaware North is already looking at what it's going to look like going forward. People with masks, limited capacities, all of those things.
And we talk about it so much because no one has any experience playing without fans, right? Or is that really true?
how would it feel if you go into these games and there's no fans in the stadium? I know there's been a lot of talk about there being fanless games. Like, could you imagine playing a football game with no fans or there being crowd noise pumped into the stadium?
Bro, we didn't have fans anyway.
Oh, man. Charger fans.
We didn't have many Charger fans at the game. I'm going to be honest. We didn't have many Charger fans at the game. You know, much loyalty, love, but we ain't had many, so I'm not missing anything.
So that's a former Chargers running back Melvin Gordon, now with the Broncos, and he has a little experience, although he says much love. It feels like a shot when you say we didn't have any fans. Like, yeah. You can't just say much love. It's like when Parcells, so, you know, no disrespect, and then says something really disrespectful and inappropriate. But, yeah, so the Chargers. If you're an NFL player, want to know what it's like to not play with fans, just call your buddies on the Chargers.
What else you got?
Earlier, we were talking about Damian Lillard, who basically said, listen, if you're going to bring me back to play games that don't matter because we don't have a chance for the playoffs, I don't want to play. I'll practice. I'll be with my team, but I'll sit over there on the bench. I'm not going to play. And we talked about the reaction to that, Dan Orlovsky and others. Jackie McMullen, one of the best basketball brains in the entire country, appearing on the Hoop Collective pod, talked about that very item.
I actually talked to a coach today that had a very interesting point, a coach that's out of the race, that said originally he was leaning towards, maybe I don't want to play. And then he said, you start to count the numbers, and he started realizing 8 months off, that's right. Way too long for my team. I'm now in favor of coming back, having a little mini camp, play a little bit, get my guys some sea legs, have a mini training camp, and then, yes, okay, we'll be done. But if you're going to start in December, which everyone believes we will, restart in December the following year, that's almost 8 months off, guys. Do the math. That's a long time.
Yeah, we all like rest, but that does seem like an awful lot, doesn't it?
It does. And I think that's one of the issues, you know, we don't have to get into the discussion, but, you know, these kids that have missed full seasons in high school or whatever, like, they're going to go a long time without ever touching basically the equipment of their sport and competing in that sport. It's going to be weird when they do return.
So Christian's in the house. Christian, Big O did have the scoop several weeks ago. He said he's hearing that the Boston Marathon was going to be canceled. Glenn Ordway right again. I'm not sure he can hear me.
I don't think he can. I heard you. That was a good question.
I get to say almost anything I want at this point, right? I mean,
Christian Scorier.
We could rip him. Mike Rabel's better. I mean, we could do all that stuff now.
Get out of the game. We need a touchdown. Let's put somebody in with hands. He's still not there, huh? Because he'd be mad if he was.
Thank God he's not. Could kick our asses, couldn't he? I'm going to assume that in the next couple of minutes, they'll get that all sorted through and figure it out. Who is on OMF today? Do we know, fellas?
I think Lou Merlone is on, because Lou Merlone is a man, Dale. He just walked into the studio. He's doing the show live from Brighton.
Oh, he's in the building.
He's in the house. That big bully who picks on Tom Brady, who doesn't want to, I don't know, he doesn't want neighbors as fences or something about that.
Do you think the New York media is obsessed with Lou Merlone?
Huh? I think everybody's obsessed with Lou Merlone. Why wouldn't you be?
What's up, boys?
Hi, Lou. How are you, bud?
I'm good, Dale. How are you?
Great, thank you. I got to give credit to your partner. Glenn Ordway said a couple of weeks ago he heard the Boston Marathon was going to be canceled. Glenn Ordway, right again.
How about that one? He's got a scoop. We forgot about that. I heard you just mention it. I totally forgot all about it.
Because of the running community. I mean, he's part of that. So because, you know, he's in there. And
no, here's the thing. Big O always hedges his scoops. He comes in every day with the scoop every single day. I'm hearing. And we get on the air, and he's like, well, I don't know. This might happen.
But this time he was right. He deserves it.
I don't know. And it's like, dude, okay, you got something? Come out with it. The Boston Marathon would be canceled. See, I don't even remember him saying it because probably the way he said it.
He did couched it
a couple of weeks ago, but he probably did couch it.
Yeah.
But he was right. Let him have his moment in the sun.
All right. Yeah, I know. I don't know. I'm sure. Yeah, I know you guys got into it as well. But yesterday when that happened, I just thought it was too early.
Too early?
I heard you last night.
That was our thought. And who canceled it?
I heard you
last
night.
Don't say it was BAA.
No, I heard you last night. That was a great point. Like, I feel like we're the state of no hope.
Yep.
Like, just give me a little bit of hope.
Give me something to point to.
Well, the governor today is, in a few minutes, supposedly going to say the pro teams in Massachusetts can open their facilities, can, you know, with safety precautions, can start getting people back ready. At least there's something there, right?
Yeah, there is. I think some restaurant talk too today too, right?
Yeah,
maybe like a plan and a phase plan. And how
the first phase of the phase till we get to the phase where they can phase in 25%.
Tired of phases yet?
I am so phased out. Stop phasing me. Tell me I can go to a restaurant, sit down, order wings and a beer if there are any still open by the time you actually allow them to do it.
I hear you.
I'm going to guess at some point in your life, Lou, you'd been to Foley's in New York.
You know what? I haven't,
because that was a place we found out today. Unfortunately, they will not reopen. A great sports bar in New York.
Wow.
And, I mean, if you're a sports fan and you made the pilgrimage down to watch the Sox play at Yankee Stadium or something.
Is that the one that's all Boston?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've been there. Yes, I have.
Not anymore. And a great place. All the signed baseballs. You must have a signed baseball on the wall.
I remember going there a few times with my buddies. Yep, a couple times.
And unfortunately...
a couple times he doesn't remember.
And unfortunately... they will not make it either. So what are you guys going to do today?
Well, I don't know if you saw the beautiful gesture from one David Price. You know, I always liked that guy.
You know what? I can't even rip him for this one. That was a cool moment.
It is. It was. It was a great moment. And I wonder if we had Dallas Braden on the other day, and he actually mentioned this, that if more players do this, you know, while you've got the A's owners refusing to spend $1.2 million to extend and pay his minor league team, players and more people like David Price. Shin-Soo Choo did it in Texas a while back, the same thing. That if people, because I feel like right now the blame is 95-5 on the players.
Yes.
They're getting all the heat. Does it sort of turn? And I want to dive into an Alex Speer article that I think sort of proves a little bit of why you shouldn't trust the owners. And Nick Verano is actually going to join us at 3:30. Talk about I know obviously Nick Verano owns Strega. So he's to talk about the restaurant business, how he feels about the reopening, and of course we got our mystery guest at 4.
Excellent.
Yep.
OMF's coming up next. Andy, good to talk to you again. We'll talk to you next week. Rich will be back next week as well.
As long as he doesn't have another baby between now and then.
Well, you never know. Things could have happened in the last week or so. You guys enjoy your weekend. Bye. Rolling around, see where the bad guys ought to be found and make them lay down. The defenders at the West,
crushing on pretenders in the West. Don't mess with us, cause we in the And it's been a blast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.